Appreciate that song. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 1 this morning, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. I don't know if you remember this story about 7 years ago of the man in South Africa known as the Blade Runner. The Blade Runner, Oscar Pistorius. About 7 years ago, he shot his glamorous girlfriend in his apartment, but he claims that he thought that she was an intruder in his apartment. But just a little bit about Oscar before we come back to that he was born with a birth defect, and so he was amputated both legs right below the knee. And, of course, he had to wear the prosthetics that were made, and he had those blades that were made for running. And he was a Paralympic champion in the sprints. And then in 2011, he started participating in non-disabled competition. He was the first amputee to win a medal in the 2011 World Championships. And then in 2012, in the Summer Olympics, he became the first double-leg amputee to participate in the Olympic Games. But back to the story of Oscar. He shot his girlfriend, claimed it was thinking it was an intruder in his house, and it went to court. And what made it difficult for the jury to rule on his case was there were no eyewitnesses. They only had the testimony of Oscar. And so the defense, they brought in witnesses of the character of Oscar, trying to prove that he was a good person and that he wouldn't murder his girlfriend and so on. Whereas the prosecution, they brought in witnesses to try to tear down his character, to show that, or undermine his character. But without any credible witnesses, it made it very, very difficult for this jury to rule. I mean, just imagine, no witnesses. If you were on that jury, I mean, how would you make a decision in a case like that? It would be very hard, but I'm not going to go into all the details, but eventually the Supreme Court ruled that he was guilty of murder, and he did go to prison. But what's interesting about here in John chapter 1 is that we're going to see, beginning here in verse number 6 this morning, that John is going to show us, the Apostle John, writing the Gospel of John, he is going to introduce us to the witness of John the Baptist, a witness of Jesus Christ. And not only is he going to introduce us to John the Baptist, but he also introduces to Jesus, who is a witness of himself. He is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I want to say that there is adequate, credible witnesses concerning who Jesus is. Last week, the message, we asked the question, who is Jesus? And we looked in these first four verses that Jesus is the Word. He's the Word of God. He's the Word that was made flesh. And then we learned that Jesus is God. He's co-equal with God. He's the second person of the Godhead. He is God. And we learn also Jesus is the light. He is the light. And he came to shine as the light in this dark world. And then we learn he is the life. He gives life. And so as we looked at who Jesus is, we learned why we need to believe in Jesus. Because the Bible teaches we are spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. It teaches that we are in spiritual darkness. And so we need life and light. And Jesus is the life and the light. But the question is, you know, many people have, they struggle with belief. They struggle with coming to Christ and committing their trust to Jesus. But I want to show you that we have some very credible witnesses here. John's going to show us in the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at two of these witnesses this morning. But I will say this, when we get to chapter 5, that John actually gives us about 7 witnesses in his Gospel. He gives us the witness of the Father. The Father witnesses of Christ here in the Gospel of John. Christ himself is a witness. Then the Holy Spirit is a witness. Jesus' works witness to who he is, because no man could do the works that he did. The scriptures witness of Christ. And then John the Baptist, that we're going to look at this morning, he was a witness for Christ. And then there were many other human witnesses, such as the disciples, the Samaritan woman, the multitude, many people. But the question today is, what is the jury going to decide? We're going to go into a courtroom today. We're going to listen to the witness, and guess what? You are the jury. You're going to be the jury this morning. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to make a decision about Jesus. Because see, God's witness of his Son, the witnesses that God brings before us this morning, demands a verdict on our part. And what I mean by demanding a verdict, it means it demands a decision on your part whether to believe or not to believe in Jesus Christ. And what's interesting about John that we're going to learn, John the Baptist here, is that he was a witness that was sent by God himself in fulfillment to a prophecy of Isaiah some 700 years before. God prophesied and told through Isaiah that he was going to send a witness. He was going to send a forerunner to the Christ, to the Messiah. A forerunner that was going to introduce him to the world. And then the other witness, Jesus himself, who is the true light, he's the one that's on trial this morning. And he shines, his light shines brighter and purer than any other person who has ever lived. And with these two truthful and exceptional witnesses that we're going to look at this morning, it should not be hard for you to come to a verdict. It's not like the story of Oscar Pistorius that would be very difficult to rule in that case without any eyewitnesses. But in this case, we have some very clear, credible witnesses of Jesus Christ. But what you're going to find as we read this passage this morning, you're going to find that people who should have had a favorable, decided favorably toward Jesus Christ, sadly rejected God's testimony. Whereas others believed the witness and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But as we look at this passage, I want you to know John's not just giving us this idea of almost like of a courtroom drama for our entertainment. No, he's trying to draw us into the story of Jesus so that he also might draw out our own personal verdict concerning Jesus Christ. And it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death for you. Let's read beginning in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, To them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the witness that you have placed before us today. Lord, there may be those here today that have never made a verdict concerning Jesus Christ, that have never made a personal decision concerning Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today that you would bring them to that crossroad in their life to realize the urgency of this decision that will affect their eternity. Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts through your word, through your Holy Spirit. And I pray in Jesus' name. So here's our theme this morning. God's witness demands our verdict. God's witness demands our verdict. And this text that we just read, it falls in two parts. In verses 6 through 9 that we read, it shows God has given us adequate witness to his son, a man sent from God named John. And then verse 10 through 13, he shows that this witness to God's son demands a verdict of him. And so let's look at this witness sent from God. This witness, a man sent from God, whose name was John. Now we need to clarify who John is, because there's many Johns in the Gospels. You know, we have the Apostle John. He is not mentioned by name in this gospel, but he is believed to be the author of the Gospel of John. The Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so John is recording this gospel for us. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the reason for John writing this gospel account, because there already were three other accounts at this time, Matthew, Mark, Luke. But John writes, according to chapter 20, verse 31, he's writing that these things that he has written is so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So John has an evangelistic purpose. He has a purpose of convincing you that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that God in all the Old Testament promises and prophecies was promising and talked about. That person that was going to come and redeem the world from sin is Jesus Christ. That's what John wants us to believe. And not just was he the Messiah, but he is the only begotten Son of God. And John says when we believe on him, and we talked about believing on him is relying on him, trusting on him, entrusting him with our soul, that we have life through his name. That's John's purpose. But if we looked at this first chapter, you could, in these first 18 verses, is what many commentators would call the prologue. It's kind of like the introduction. It's the introduction to the Gospel of John. It's like a summary. And so what John is the gospel, the Apostle John here is doing in these first 18 verses, he's giving us an introduction, a summary of what the gospel is about. And he wants us to know about this witness that was sent from God, John the Baptist. Now, when you read about him in the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Matthew, you find that this man, there's no doubt, a man sent by God. He had a unique birth. He's the only man in the Bible that was said to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. An amazing, unique man. A man sent by God with the purpose of bearing witness. Notice his title given in verse number 7. The same came for a witness. He's given this title, witness. This is one of the key words in the book of John. It's the noun form of witness, whether it's used as a witness or testimony. It's used 14 times. The verb form is used 33 times. So 47 times you'll find the word witness, whether it's witness, record, or testimony. Those are all translating the same word, whether a noun and verb. So I want you to think about this. 47 times in John, he uses this theme word, witness. Witness, 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 over and over again. In contrast, it's only used 17 times in all of the epistles in the New Testament. And it's used 13 times in the book of the Revelation, the last book in the Bible. So you can see how important this theme is in John, the witness. And I'm thankful for this because our theme this year is Go 2020, mobilizing disciples for the mission. We are to be witnesses for Christ. Just as John was a man sent from God to be a witness, to bear witness of the light. Listen, you and I who have embraced Jesus Christ by faith, we are his witnesses. Do you realize that? You may not have had a unique birth like John, but listen, God called you to be his witness and to bear witness to him. In Acts 1:8, Jesus clearly told his disciples, "Ye shall be my witnesses." In this very gospel, in chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father had sent me, even so send I you." So just as the Father sent Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "The Father has sent you." We are to be a witness of the light. Now, let's look at this word witness. A witness is someone who's called to the witness stand. We think of it in that term of a courtroom to give testimony under oath of what he or she has seen or heard. And the point of a witness in courtroom is to establish truth beyond reasonable doubt. That's the purpose of a witness. That's the point of bringing witnesses, to try to establish the truth beyond any reasonable doubt. Now, the witness does not tell things that they think, but the witness reveals things that he knows are true. That's what a true witness is. John the Baptist here, he illustrates for us what a witness of Jesus Christ does. A witness of Jesus Christ is not that light. I like how in our Bible, the light is capitalized. In verse 8, he was not that light. Notice it's capitalized. Who is the light? Jesus. I mean, we just learned that in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus is the light. So he says here about the witness, he is not the light. But it says that he was sent to bear witness of that light. That's what a witness does. A witness points people to Jesus Christ. A witness testifies about who Jesus is. That's what a witness does. By what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced about Jesus. If you've come to faith in Jesus, if you've been brought to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit through the Word of God convicted you of sin, you turned from your sin, you turned to Jesus by faith, you called on Him, you embraced Him, you trust Him, what happened? Your life was changed. Transformed. If your life wasn't changed, then you didn't see the light. You didn't receive the light, because if you were in darkness and you embraced the light, you are no longer in darkness, you're in the light. If you were dead in sins and you come to the light, Jesus Christ, you have life. You have some kind of transformation that takes place. You're not perfect by any means, but you have changed and passed from darkness to light, from death unto life. And because of that, you are to bear witness of Jesus Christ and what he did in your life. I want you to look in John 5, verse 35. Look what Jesus says about John the Baptist. This is what Jesus said about John the Baptist. In John 5 and verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. John's life burned and shined and pointed others to Jesus Christ. His life was a testimony of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. I love studying John the Baptist's life, and we'll be seeing more about him as in more messages in the future. We'll learn more about John the Baptist. But John the Baptist, he understood why God had sent him. That it wasn't about him. That it was about the light. It was about Jesus. And you know, when John, he had gathered disciples around him, and he began to teach them. He began to preach repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he baptized those disciples of his. But when Jesus came on the scene, John told his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He pointed his disciples to Jesus, and they began to follow Jesus. That's what John did. He didn't keep the disciples around himself. He pointed them to Christ. He knew that's what he was here for. And listen, my ministry here as the pastor of Bible Baptist Church, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. We're here to shine the light of Jesus. We're here to point people to Jesus. He's the light. He's the way. He's the truth. And so we point people to Christ because Christ is the only one that can save us. I can't save you. This church can't save you. You can't save yourself, but Jesus can. And he was a burning, he was a shining light. You know, they came to John. You know, you'll find later in this chapter, they came asking him, "Are you the Christ? Are you the one that God promised?" And he confessed and denied not, but he said, "I am not the Christ." So they said, what then? Who are you? Are you Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." I like what John said in verse 22 or verse 23, because they said, "Who art thou then, you know? If you're not that prophet, if you're not Elias, if you're not Christ, well, just who are you?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He just said, I am just a voice. Of course, that's what Isaiah said, a voice crying in the wilderness was going to come. And John, you can't see a voice. You can only hear a voice. Amen. John didn't come on the scene to be seen, to be applauded, to be lifted up. No, he just came as a messenger of God. He came to point people to Christ. He came as a witness. He came simply as a voice crying in the wilderness. John did not want people occupied with him. He wanted to exalt the Savior. You know, later in John 3, he actually says, "He must increase, I must decrease." You know, we can learn something from John the Baptist. We can learn something as Christians. Those of you here that have trusted Christ, you're disciples of Jesus, you're following Christ. Listen, you can learn something from John the Baptist. You can learn humility. You can learn what your role is. That you are to be a humble servant of God, pointing people to Jesus Christ. You know, it's sad that oftentimes we're prone to want people to like us. We're prone to want people to be occupied with us. We want to be well thought of. It hurts us when people misunderstand us and speak unkindly about us. But this was not John. This was not John. John was not concerned about himself. He was only concerned that he gave witness to the light. He was only concerned that people saw Jesus. I wonder about us as Christians here today. Are we more concerned when we came to church today about ourselves? About getting something from God for our own personal benefit? Are we here because we're concerned about others knowing Jesus? That we're concerned that we grow and mature so that we can be better witnesses for Christ? That we can learn more about Jesus so we can tell more people about Him? You know, I wonder what our goal is in Christian life. Why are we here? You know, we can learn from John exactly what to do. You know, there's 3 points in these verses 6-8 that these are not points of the message, but 3 simple points is that John the Baptist is not the light. And this thought's going to be developed later in John verses 19-28. The second point is that John was sent to bear witness of the light. He's not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And this is going to be developed in verse 29-34. And then the third point was John's aim was that all may believe through him. And that's going to be developed verse 35-51 in this chapter. Because I want you to notice that in verse 7, he said that all men through him might believe. Do you realize that for most people today, I know there's examples where people might, just through reading the Bible, might put their faith in Christ. I've heard testimonies like that. People read a gospel tract. But most people that are saved, that are trusting Jesus as their Savior, most people today are saved because of someone else leading them to Christ. I'm sure if we were to take testimonies this morning, I'm sure that would be proven as a fact. That there were people that were instrumental in bringing us to Christ. There were people that were influential in our lives. There were people that were witnesses. There were people that showed us that Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light. He is the one that can save us. And through those people, we were brought to put our faith in Jesus. And see, God sent this man, John, for that very purpose, to bear witness of Christ so that men through him might believe. Now think about that. It may be that you're a mother and you have children and you think, well, I'm very limited what I can do for Christ. No, you are that woman sent by God. You are that woman sent by God to be a witness to your children. You know, think about it. No matter who you are, whether you're a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather, whatever you are, a single person, a teenager, a young person, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, you are a witness. And God sent you so that others through you might believe on Him. We need to grab a hold of that today. I mean, John is just not the only one God sent. If that was true, then we're doomed because John's gone. He was beheaded in the first century. He's no longer living on this earth. No, the witness is all of us, God's people. He sent us on a mission to be witnesses, to bear witness to the light. So if you take those 3 points, you know, it'd be helpful to us whenever we have opportunities to bear witness of Christ. And that first point that John, he was not the light. And what is that? How does that help us? Well, it helps me remember that it's not about me. The message is not about me. When I give my testimony to someone, it's not about me. It's not about glamorizing my testimony so that people think, wow, that's an amazing testimony. No, that's not what it's about. It's about people saying, wow, what an amazing Savior. Man, He saved you. Well, maybe He can save me. You know, it's all about him. It's not about us. And John, it says here about him that he was not that light. You're not that light. I was sharing with our men this morning, and I told them I didn't know if I'd share this today, but I am, that Brother Prater shared a story this past week on his social media accounts, and he talked about how that these actors today, these stars, Hollywood stars, that they have a body double doing all their stunts for them. And he was asking or bringing out the remark that, how many of you know these body doubles? I mean, how many of you know, for example, like, you know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock? I mean, he's in a lot of movies. How many of you know his body double? I mean, I doubt if any of us know his body double. You probably don't know who his wife is. You probably never heard of any of his children. You don't know anything about him. You know, these people that were working on those movies, whether it's a body double, stuntman, whether it's the cameraman, whether it's the fashion designer, whether it's the beautician, or whatever it is, these people are all working to make the star shine. You don't know about any of those people. Well, listen, the star in our case is Jesus. And we're just here to point people to him. We're just here to bear witness to him. We're not that light. Jesus is the light. And, you know, the second point, John was to bear witness of the light. Well, we're to tell people who Jesus is. We're to tell people who Jesus is. You know, just in this first chapter, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In John 1:34, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He told people who Jesus was. He was very clear. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, saying, "This is he. It's not me, it's him. He's the one." And that third point, John's aim was that all through him might believe. Well, we need to seek to bring people to Christ, not just to tell them about Jesus, not just to give a gospel tract, but you know, it should be our aim to bring them to Jesus, to lead them to Jesus. I realize the Holy Spirit has to work in their heart. I realize that. I don't want to say we just get false professions of faith and just corner people into praying some prayer or something. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we should work at persuading people. Paul did. We should work at pleading with people with some compassion and some tears. I mean, Robert preached a little bit about that Sunday night, about hell. I mean, we should realize where people's destiny is, and we should have some compassion, and we should plead with them. I mean, if it was your child that was hanging over the precipice of hell, would you just say, "Well, you know, you maybe should hear about Jesus," and then just leave it at that? Or would you really be pleading with them? Would you be begging them to come to Jesus? I wonder if maybe we don't have many people saved because we don't plead. We don't persuade men. We don't seek to lead men. But John did. John did. In fact, the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel, he was John the Baptist's disciple. We'll learn a little bit about that later in this chapter in another message. But he led John to Jesus. He led John to Jesus. It was John the Baptist that led these people. We need to encourage people to put their faith and trust in Jesus before it's too late. So we see the witness here in verse 6 through 8. A man sent from God, this witness that God sent to bear witness of the light. He speaks volumes to us and what we're to do. We're to go 2020. We're to bear witness to the true light. So we're going to come to the second division of this passage, the witness of the true light. Jesus is the true light. And I want you to notice how he emphasizes the true light. What does that mean? It means there's a lot of false lights out there. It means there's some flickerings out there of some lights that are false. In other words, there's false messiahs, there's false prophets, there's false Jesuses, there's false gospels, there's false ways to heaven. There's all these ways out there. But John said, Jesus is the true light. The genuine, true light. A true light will not deceive you. You know, I was reading some illustrations about this, you know, about these beacons that shine. And years ago, they would have lighthouses and they would have these lights and beacons to warn ships of running the ship aground into the quicksand or running into the rocks. And so they would have these beacons, but a false beacon would be a false one, one that would lead them into the rocks. But the true one would lead them to the port, would lead them to safety. And listen, Jesus is the true light. There's a lot of false lights out there that lead people to crash up on the rocks and lead them to damnation. But Jesus Christ, the true light, leads us to life. He is the true light. And I want you to notice he says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, when I first read this years ago, I was always like, It caused a lot of questions in my mind. I asked a lot of questions. I wondered, what does that mean? Because when I read in verse 5, the light shineth in the darkness comprehendeth it not. Remember, we talked about that. The darkness did not readily receive, did not eagerly accept the light. What does it mean that this true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world? Well, the idea here is kind of like the sun. You go outside on a bright, shining day, the sun shines down and sheds its rays universally upon the earth. This lighteth every man doesn't mean every man's saved. It doesn't mean that every man has light inside. Because we know some reject the light. They're still in darkness. But what its meaning is that the true light, he shines universally upon all. He's the Savior for the whole world. He's not Savior just for the Jews, he doesn't just shed his beams upon Israel. He sheds his beams upon the whole world, upon every man that comes into the world. He's the universal Savior. He's the true light for the whole world. And because he is, it demands a response, a verdict on our part. When light comes and exposes sin, when light exposes sin in everyone's heart, it demands a response. Sometimes people react like cockroaches. When you turn on the light, they'll go scrambling for cover. How many of you ever had that kind of situation where you had a house infested with cockroaches? I remember years ago, I don't think my wife was with me. I'm glad she wasn't, but I can't remember who went with me on this visit, but we visited these people in north part of Dalhart, and it's kind of a really run-down area of town, and it was a trailer park area. And we knocked on this door. We were invited in. We went inside, and we're talking to this lady, me and this other man, and we're talking to her about church and about Christ. And I could see in the background roaches here and there running. And we kind of moved into the kitchen, and she turned on the light. Oh, mercy. There were thousands of roaches scrambling for cover. And I was kind of starting to get wanting to get out of that place as fast as I could. I never saw so many roaches in my life. I mean, it was sad. But some people are like that. When the light comes, man, they scramble, they run. when you go to people, you witness, you bear witness to the true light, some people are going to close the door. Some people are going to run for cover. Some people are going to put that wall up. They're going to, and it's because of sin, because the light exposes sin. But then there's going to be others realizing that that light brings life. Did you know if we didn't have light, we would have no life on earth? Light gives life. And that's what he said in verse 4, the life was the light of men. You know, this witness that John bore of Jesus demands a verdict. In verse 10, as he bore witness to the true light, I want you to notice verse 10. He was in the world. He's speaking of the true light. The true light was in the world. And the world was made by him. Remember, we talked about that last week in verse 3. The Word, the light. He made all things. There was nothing made that was not made by him. He made the world, and the world knew him not. Isn't that sad? He came into the world that he made, and the world did not know him. Why did the world not know its creator? One reason is because people are spiritually blind. They're in darkness. We talked about that last week. People are blind. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those that believe not. People are blinded to truth. That's why they need a witness like you and I. People are blind. They need somebody to come alongside them and to bear witness and to give them the light, to point them to the light. So people are blind to the truth. Not only are people spiritually blind, but people love their sin. Jesus is going to talk about that in John 3:19, that, you know, people love darkness more than they love the light. Some people just love sin so much, they won't come to the light. But other times, it's just simple indifference. People are just indifferent to the light. They're immersed in their own things. They don't have time. They don't desire to know Jesus. You may witness to people and they say, well, I don't really care to hear what you have to say. Or I really don't have time for you to talk to me about that right now. It's really not important to me right now. That's indifference. People are indifferent to the light. But if there's a few people indifferent, does that mean we should not bear witness? I mean, God tells us to bear witness. To let the light shine. There are going to be people that are going to hear and that are going to believe, because we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want you to notice that they did not know him. But here's the saddest verse in the Bible, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The true light came unto his own. Now, what's interesting, that word own is used twice in this verse, and it's from a different... Well, one of them's neuter and one of them's masculine. And so let me explain what that means. What it means is that the first one's neuter. And so what he's saying, he came to his own land, his own home. You know, Jesus was a Jew. Or you could look at it, he's the creator and he came to his own creation. You could look at it that way. You could look at it, he's a Jew. He came to his own home. He came to the Jews. He came to Israel. Born is their Messiah. So the first own is speaking of land, of home. He came to his own home, his own land. The second own, being masculine, speaks of people. And his own people received him not. You know, that's so sad. Jesus came. If you look at it from the Jewish perspective, Jesus came as a Jew, as the Messiah, promised to the Jews, there would also be a blessing to the Gentiles, but his own people received him not. His own people received him not. Even in spite of the witness of John the Baptist, a man sent from God. Even in spite of the witness of the Father, who spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Even in spite of the fact of Jesus' own witness of who he was, even in spite of the fact of the witness of his works, in this gospel, we're going to come across seven sign miracles that Jesus did. One of them, he's going to heal a man blind from birth. I mean, that should speak of who he is. One of them, we're going to learn about, he raised a man from the dead, Lazarus. Been dead in the grave 4 days. That should speak and witness that this man is not some ordinary man. That he must be who he claims to be. And then there's the witness of the scriptures. Moses and all the prophets spoke of him. Jesus even told the Jews, if you would search the scriptures, you would see they speak of me. All those witnesses they rejected. And I believe it was willful rejection. Willful rejection. They just closed their eyes to the light. They said, no, we're not going to believe this. Sad verse. He came to his own received him not. But aren't you thankful for verse 12? That word of contrast, but. Aren't you thankful for all the buts in the Bible? I like the but in Ephesians, where it talks about in the first three verses, we were dead in sins, trespasses, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Talking about our doomed, cursed condition that we're in as sinners. But then it says in verse 4, but. But God in his kindness, his mercy. Wow. Here, people didn't receive him. They rejected him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Thank the Lord that this verse is in the Bible, that as many as, that means you, that means me, as many as received him. What does it mean to receive him? Well, he explains in this verse, it means to believe on his name. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Believe, what does it mean to believe? It's not intellectual. It's not just up here intellectual belief. People have this intellectual belief like, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. The word believe means commit. It means to trust. Entrust something to someone. Amen. To believe on. It didn't say believe in. Now, some Bibles change that word, but I'm glad our Bible says here that in verse 12, even to them that believe on his name. We believe on him. We trust and commit on him. And what is his name? Well, his name speaks of everything who he is as the Messiah, as the Son of God. It speaks of everything that he did for us when he was nailed to that cross and crucified for our sins, buried, and rose again the third day. That's his name, everything he is, everything he did for us. Believing on his name means you're believing on him for salvation, relying on Jesus alone for salvation. That's what receiving Christ is. It's to believe on him with all of your heart. It's not here, but it's here. Believing with your heart, trusting him as your Lord and Savior. You see, you can ask people today, you can witness to people. I'm going to give you an example, and I don't want you to think I'm picking on Catholics, but I'm just using an example. A lot of times you can go to a Catholic, and they will say, well, I've received Christ. But listen, in their mind is something different than what we're seeing here. In their mind, they think, well, I received the wafer at Mass, and so I received Christ. But that's not what the Scripture's talking about here. It's talking about relying on Jesus Christ alone for salvation, for eternal life, for forgiveness of sin. You're relying on him alone. You're not relying on Mass. You're not relying on works. You're relying on Jesus. So he received him. As many as received him, he says, they to them gave he power. Power means authority. He gives them the right, the authority to be the sons of God. Did you know you're not born in this world a son of God? We're born in this world sinners. We're sons of Adam, a fallen, cursed, sinful race. But Jesus, because of what he did for us, we can be sons of God. We have to receive him. We have to believe on him. We have to trust on him for salvation. And he says he gives us the power to become the sons of God. Now notice this. Which were born not of blood. I want to explain this verse 13. Which were born not of blood. You know, the Jews, they thought, well, we're Abraham's children. They thought, well, we're the covenant people. We're Abraham's children. But Jesus preached to them and said, you know what? There are many that are going to come from the east and the west and come into the kingdom, but you're not. You're going to be left out. You know, you have to have personal faith in Christ. It's not you being born into a Jewish family. It's not you being born into a Christian family. You can have parents who are solid Christians, but you being born of them does not make you a Christian. You have to believe on Christ and be born, not of blood, he says. This is talking about human birth. He says, nor of the will of the flesh. This is speaking of human works as if something that we can do of our own. There's nothing we can do. Titus tells us, the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So it's not of works. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not something that I can do for myself. I can't just save myself by my works, by my human will. He said, nor of the will of man. Here the idea is of a human mediator, such as a priest or a pastor or somebody else. You know, I can't birth you into the family of God. I can't do that. I can preach Christ. I can bear witness. I can point you to Jesus. But I can't save you. You know, some people, they give their testimony and say, yeah, I walked the aisle one Sunday and the preacher, he prayed with me and he saved me. Brother so-and-so saved me. I've heard people give that kind of testimony. And I'm not saying they wasn't saved. They just, the way they said it, they maybe couldn't articulate it right, but that preacher didn't save anyone. Only Jesus saves. Because he says here, not of the blood, you're born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Isn't that something? What does that mean? Salvation is of God. It's not of man. That's what verse 13 simply means. Salvation is not of man. It's of God. It's when you receive Jesus Christ by believing on him. You're relying on Jesus alone for your salvation. God births you into the family of God. You experience a birth from above. And remember, Jesus is going to say, we're going to see in chapter 3 later, he told Nicodemus, this Pharisee, this man that was very religious, this man that was a very outwardly righteous man, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. What does that mean? Born spiritually. You have to be born of spirit, not just of water, not just of the flesh, not just of the blood, but you have to be born of the spirit. Born again. Born of God. That's what blows me away, that here I am, a sinner. I've failed God numerous times. I've sinned against God, and yet God loved me, and he sent his son to die for me, and he tells me that he has a gift that he wants to give me, the gift of eternal life. This life is in his son, and if I would receive his son, if I would put my trust and faith in his son, that I would have life, that I would be a son of God. That's pretty amazing. Amen. That's amazing grace that we sing about. That's amazing grace. Truly, truly amazing grace. So now you've heard the witnesses that we presented here in these verses. John testified that Jesus is the true light. Jesus himself shines as the true light. You look at him in Scripture, you will see he is the true light. It's time for your verdict. What is your verdict? What is your decision? You have to make a decision. And let me just say this. If you do not decide to trust Christ, if you do not come to Christ to receive him, you have already decided against him. Some people say, well, I'm not sure, I'm going to wait. Well, listen, as long as you are waiting, you're in unbelief. John 3:18 says that you're already condemned if you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're already condemned. While you're waiting, you're condemned. If you were to die today, you'd be condemned if you have not received Christ. That's the urgency of it this morning. You see the witnesses. What's the verdict? Only you can make that verdict in your own heart. I can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Your spouse can't make it for you. You personally have to make that verdict, that choice to come to Christ and put your faith and trust in him. It's a matter of life and death. Eternal life, eternal death. Christian, how's your life? Think about all the people around us that have no life. They're in darkness. Are you a burning and shining light for Christ? You see, the devil, he wants to keep people in darkness. He wants to keep people blinded. If our gospel be hid, Paul said, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the god of this world, that is Satan, had blinded the minds of them that believe not. Because darkness means death and hell. Life means light in heaven. So Satan holds people in his domain of darkness. Are we a burning and shining light to them? Are we bearing witness to them? Pointing them to the true light? Perhaps God is speaking to you today, and maybe in a very specific way, as a Christian, he's saying to you, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a preacher. Maybe he's not calling you to full-time service, but he may be calling, I want you to be my witness. Do you know one day someone that gets saved because of witness may say, that was a man sent by God. That was a woman sent by God. Because they came and told me about Jesus. I want you to stand as we bow our heads. We're going to have an invitation song. As we bow our heads, this a prayer. I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to pray. But as we go to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask a couple simple questions with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure today that you've embraced and received Jesus as your Savior? If you're here and you cannot say yes, if you say, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know if I really have. I don't know if I've entrusted my soul to him. But I would like you to pray for me. Is there anyone here like that? If you're here like that and you want me to pray for you, just simply raise your hand. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come to you. I just want you to raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Anyone here like that today? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've received Christ, and maybe God spoke to you today about being a witness. He's opened your eyes to see there are people around you, there are loved ones and that are close to you, there are co-workers that are close to you. They're in darkness. They do not know Jesus. And God has sent you to them, just like he sent John. Would you go? Would you say, Lord, yes, I'll go. I'll be that witness. I'll shine that light. Lord, if you'll help me, I don't really know what to do. I don't really know how to do it. But Lord, if you'll help me, I'll go. Would you make that decision this morning? Say, Lord, I will go. There's some of you making that decision today. Would you like to raise your hand so I can pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the light, the true light, for your Son Jesus, who came to shine the light into our hearts, to reveal the sin that condemns us, the sin that alienates us from you. And not only does he show us our sinful condition, but the light shows us the way to life. The light shines so that we can come to Jesus and trust him for salvation. Thank you, God, for sending your Son to be our Savior. And Lord, I pray for those that raised their hand that did not know for certain that Jesus is their Savior. I pray today, before they leave, Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus, that they would come during this invitation call, that we can have someone show them and pray with them and lead them to trust in Christ. And Lord, I pray for those here that raise their hand that want to be a witness for Jesus. Lord, you would help them, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would give them wisdom, help them to be a light for those around them. God, help all of us, Lord. Please, Lord, our time is short. There's a world dying without Christ. Lord, it's without hope. Lord, help us to do our part, to be faithful witnesses. Lord, thank you for this, what you're going to do. And I pray your blessing on the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.